Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I love those audio drops that you guys have of Jason. Just taking things completely out of context is the best, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun. We actually, now you start to anticipate him. So he'll say something, and we'll both, he and I, will look at each other and sort of pause. I'll look down, write down the time.
Write it down the time, you know, yeah.
That'll be in a promo here in about half an hour.
Like, we got one.
Yeah.
Jason's off today, all week, enjoying some nice time off. A little spring break area, spring break action. My name's Chris Eggert. I'm with Channel 5 Eyewitness News. I also do a show called Minnesota Live over there on Channel 5, and happy to keep the seat warm for Jason. I texted him earlier today. I took a picture in his Twins jersey.
Yeah.
And I sent it to him. He says, that's fair. Your show, your jersey.
I mean, you know, that jersey had sat on that chair before you took it off and put it on for, I mean, a solid, I mean, years.
I thought about wearing it for the whole show, but I didn't feel, I don't know, I just felt like that would have been a little, I don't know.
Well, and nobody could see in it but me anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, I know, but that would have been just part of the joy of just knowing. Yeah.
That I don't think that would have bugged him all that much, I'll be honest with you.
And then I texted him, and I said, I have, I've aged 3 months in the last 3 days. For coming up with things to talk about.
And so, I'm sure he understood.
Yeah, he did. Sure he did. He goes, there's lots of days where I could just read the I wish I could just read the teleprompter.
We talked about that before, sure.
Yep. Yeah. So, that's all. I'll be doing that in the morning
at
5:30, and I'll be half asleep. But one of the things we want to talk about today, Dan brought this up, and I do think it is a great thing to discuss. With Easter coming up this weekend, Good Friday is on Friday, and Easter Sunday, of course. Easter Sunday's big day at church. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, what did we say, CEO churchgoers, Christmas and Easter only.
Yeah.
Easter's a big one.
It is.
Obviously. And there's some new information that's come out from Gallup, of course, big polling organization. 3 in 10 U.S. adults attend religious services regularly.
So either every week or most weeks. You know, that's they do that option. You do you attend every week, most weeks, some weeks, no weeks kind of thing.
Yep. 3 in 10 Americans say that they attend religious services every week, 21%, or almost every week, 9%. 11% report attending about once a month, 56% seldom, 25% or never, 31% never attend.
The my favorite part of that entire, because they break it down by like denomination
and
stuff.
Yeah, which is interesting too.
Like 2% of people who identify as atheists in this survey say they attend church every week.
Isn't that weird?
I thought that absolutely fascinating.
That jumped out at me too. And other is 16%. But
yeah,
whatever others do.
The only thing I can figure is that, you know, that's the atheist that has a spouse that's a person of faith and says, you're coming. I don't care if you're an atheist or not.
Yeah, no.
Otherwise, I don't know how you get to 2% of people.
Yeah, I don't know. The statistics seem a little weird there.
I thought that was fun.
How often are you going to church? Are you going to church at all? I'm curious what your thoughts are. The CCO talking text line, 651-461-9226. Interesting that you mentioned when you talk about the denominations and the percentage of people, 54% of Mormon Latter-day Saints.
They're the highest.
They are the highest group of all the groups. Behind that, you've got Protestant, Christian, 30% every week. Mm-hmm. Islam, Muslim, 28%. Catholic, 23%. Judaism, 16%. Orthodox, 15%. Buddhist, 12%. Hinduism, 7%. And then your agnostics.
And a part of the article or that brought up this survey talked about how, I think it was 2 decades ago, the number was
40-something
percent.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, that's a not insignificant drop in the last 20 years. And there's also – you'll also see Gallup will do polls like this. They'll also talk about polls that will often be out there talking about people that identify with a certain denomination of a certain religion and how that number is dropping too. Which, you know, I trust Gallup. You know, their science is pretty solid when it comes to polling data. So I don't argue with the data. What I argue with is often the conclusions that people will draw from that data to say – oh, this means because there's fewer people going to churches or fewer people identifying with a specific denomination, that means there's fewer people of faith out there, that more people are becoming either atheist or being agnostic or something like that. And I don't know that I believe that that's the case. I think what we're seeing a lot of is people that have a lack of trust in institutions, mm-hmm. saying I'm not going to
Catholic Church
anymore.
Is a great example of that, given exactly. everything that all
well,
the scandals.
I mean, look, Protestant churches have their fair share of scandals.
I just kind of top of mind, over the last, understood entirely.
Yeah. But you know, there's plenty of Christian churches, Catholic or otherwise, that have those same issues. And I say that as a non-Catholic. I'm not leaping to their defense. They've had plenty of issues, but so has every other kind of Christian church out there had serious kinds of issues. So I understand people having lack of trust in institutions and finding a church that aligns with their values. I think especially the evangelical church in America has done an awful job of reaching out to people, reaching across lines. They're sort of gatekeeping, and for a lot of big mega churches, that works really, really well.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people that grew up in a certain context, that line of thinking, that way of saying, "Here's our line. You're either with us or you're against us."
Yeah, that's interesting.
Doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And a lot of people out there, and I can speak just from a Christian context, being a Christian pastor, there's a lot of people that desperately want to hang on to Jesus. They just don't want to be told that they have to hate gay people, or they just don't want to be told that the trans kid isn't really a
trans
kid.
And there is a lot of that.
And there's places out there, folks. My heart goes out to those folks because I've seen so many of them. I've seen how they've been harmed by institutional religion, and it breaks my heart that something that I care about has been used in that way to hurt people. And so there are ways that you can connect with other communities, but a lot of that is through technology. Maybe I'm not going to a church. Maybe I'm watching a service online.
And that's because this place that
meets way too far away from me to drive to aligns with my faith and my values. Or I'm reading books, or I'm in a transition period. There's a lot of people going through what they're calling a deconstruction. Is a big buzzword in the church community. And the idea is that, I feel like there's a bunch of baggage that's been put upon a core of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And people are trying to decide of that baggage, what do I have to hang on to and what can I let go of? And that's a really difficult thing. And of course, again, institutional faith comes in and says, no. If you let go of anything, then you weren't ever really part of us to begin with. And just, pushes those people into a corner and marginalizes them in a way that's so harmful and so awful. And so, of course, you're going to see numbers like this.
Yeah, I think that all super good points. And to dig in a little deeper on your electronics piece, I would like to see the piece of data that shows pre-COVID, post-COVID. I can speak for us, our family. My wife has become sort of the online Sunday morning and will watch church. She never misses it. We still send in an offering. We're not physically at the church. That does bother me. And it's sort of just a thing that we've fallen into because of Sunday mornings seem to be this time.
You're so not alone in that regard. I know so many people that either have fallen, or not to say fallen, people that have moved into that kind of way of connecting to faith or connecting to a church service, or went through that pandemic and went, I can't do church online. I'm sorry, I just can't. Let me know when it's back in the chapel or in the sanctuary and I'll come back. But they spent, a couple of years not having those Sunday mornings where they got to sleep in and they didn't, and went, I can hang on to the community that I had, the people that I know, and I don't have to have this strict structure or this strict system in my life in order to do it. And there's all kinds of depth and nuance there that we don't have time to get into, but that pandemic changed everything.
Yeah, right? I think so.
And how we do faith and how we do church is part of it.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
I would also say that, you pointed it out yourself, it's a dramatic drop over the last 20 years, as we looked at 40% 20 years ago, and now it's 20%. What else has come along in the last 20 years?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the phone.
I'm sitting here waving my phone.
Your phone, yeah. And just the way that we consume any type of content has changed entirely. And the church is still trying to get its arms around that and figure out, because there is something, what we've learned through the pandemic, if nothing else, is that human presence, being physically in the same place as other human beings, is a different deal than let's all watch the same thing online at the same time.
Yep. It means something. Is. And Absolutely. The feeling you get if you're in a church and you're full of room full of people versus, It's looking just at it on a streaming line or whatever. So, all right, guys, 651-461-9226. I'd like to get your thoughts here on this. As some people saying, I attend each week. I can't imagine a week without it. Time right now is 5:50. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Just about 6 o'clock here. We appreciate you listening to News Talk 830 WCCO this afternoon. Jason will be back next week. I have twins will be here tomorrow. It's very exciting this time of year. Gosh, isn't it fun? Even if you're not a big baseball fan, you got to love the start of the season.
Absolutely.
Right?
Pablo Lopez on the hill for the Twins.
That's right.
2:30 pregame tomorrow, 3:05 first pitch.
And we're always, as Minnesota sports fans, before that first game, we are as optimistic as
well, everybody in baseball, right? I mean, everybody's 0-0, so let's dream the
dream.
Well,
I mean, any of our sports, it's right before the season starts. We're full of optimism. And I guess the thing about baseball is it's such a long season. Like, even if you have a slow start, it doesn't mean it's the end of anything.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. Yeah. You don't panic over a tough start. You can't win a championship in April. You can lose it. I mean, you can bury yourself to a point where it's impossible to come back, but that's very unlikely, I think, a fate for the Twins. But, we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Lots of people weighing in on the church question about how often are you going to church. Lots of people commenting about where they go to church.
Yeah.
Lots of Eagle Brook people
messaging in here. Eagle Brook's a very large church presence around town. And I'm not going to knock Eagle Brook. I'm not going to knock any mega church.
Yeah.
The one concern I have when you talk about churches like that is they're so big that it's easy to come in and be there and not have to connect to anybody and not have
necessarily
to
have a sense of community.
Right. And that's so much a part of faith and what spirituality is really all about, is that connection, is building those relationships that you're going to do life with. Eagle Brook does a lot of amazing things online and in person. I worry about those large churches like that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Appreciate you listening, everyone. Have a good night.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.